turn our attention now again to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at verses 11 through 16 today. As we continue our study, there's so many good things to in this book. It was hard to take such large chunks, but this morning I'm gonna do 11 through 16, verses 11 through 16. Follow along with me as I read aloud and remind you this is God's holy, authoritative, inspired, and infallible word. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Thus ends the reading of God's word, and may he bless it unto us. I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these verses. Some of you I know enjoy writing down some notes, and I encourage you to do that. And I will try my best to help you in that, if that's something you desire to do. Let's go to our Lord and let's ask for his blessings as we begin our study of this text. Let's pray. Oh Lord, fill us with your truth. Lord, teach us to meditate upon this, to hear it, but also to do it. May your Holy Spirit work in us, body, soul, and spirit, in our whole being, that we'd receive this as your word for us today, and that we would respond with praise and worship. Hear us, we pray, for it is in Jesus' name we ask these things, and let us say, amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't need to see a show of hands, but I'm curious how many of us have ever uttered these words, either to maybe one of our children, maybe even our spouse. I don't know. Someone we know. How many of us, I'm curious how many of us have ever uttered the word grow up? Grow up. Often when we say those things, it's something because somebody is acting in an immaturely way. And sometimes, just like the Toys R Us commercial, we don't want to grow up. We want to remain a Toys R Us kid. It's hard. I'm sure that many of us, when we were kids, we were like, I don't want to be an adult. And now maybe as adults, we're like, I'd never go back to being a kid again. But there's struggles. We know that. We've experienced those. And for our young people, for our children, they'll experience them too. We long to be children. That's a time of wonder and discovery and play and laughter. And yet as we grow up, we recognize it's also full of extremes and instability, of moments of weakness, of changing mood swings and unique opinions. This passage emphasizes maturity too. But it's within the body of Christ. It's within the church. When Paul talks about this, he's not When Paul talks about maturity, he's not talking about a life devoid of adventure or fun. He never says that. You've probably heard me say it, and if you haven't heard me say it, I guess I'm going to say it up the pulpit now. I'll talk to people and I'll say, sometimes I'm a 12-year-old trapped in a 48-year-old body. It's good to have fun. It's good to have adventure. It's good to laugh. As believers, there's nothing wrong with laughter. Paul here is talking, when he's talking about maturity, though, he's talking about spiritual growth, about spiritual stability, about how Christ grows his church. If you remember in the previous verses, we said, verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And here, beginning in verse 11, he elaborates on those gifts. And he calls us to grow by using those gifts. That's why that's the title of our message, growing by using God's gifts. So this morning, I want us to consider, our growth. And as we think about it, we want to say, where are we as far as our growth is concerned? Are we moving towards a spiritual maturity? Or maybe for some of us today, we have to grow up spiritually. Well, to do that, I want us to look at these verses with four parts in mind. The first point I want us to make this morning is the nature of these gifts, of the nature of God's gifts. Look at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. I wanted you to remember this, that this is not an exhaustive list. We can find a list of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4, and they all differ slightly. And this is just one small list here of spiritual gifts. Paul here is referring to those people who have been gifted in a more certain way, in a more special way. These might be, these are gifts that are first of all foundational and second of all ongoing. These lists that we find here in verse 11. Now, if you have a translation, some of the translations might say, and he gave some to be apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists. Not all of us are this way. We're not all called to be evangelists. We're not all called to be shepherds and teachers. Paul is emphasizing two types here, as I mentioned, the foundational and the ongoing. What's the foundational? The foundational is the apostles and prophets. If you have your Bibles, turn back to chapter 2, verse 20. In chapter 2, verse 20, we read this, that you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These are foundational gifts. And what I mean by that is those are that's the base. That's like the foundation of your house, the foundation of this building. They serve a purpose. They lay the groundwork. Paul will say he's an apostle. First of all, there's the apostles. That word, as we studied before, means sent one. It denotes somebody who is commissioned to take the gospel to new areas, to start churches, to do church plants. And then he says prophets. And he says, and those are with that direct revelation from God. They're the mouthpieces for God. They're the ones that receive God's instructions on how to live out the Christian life in the church, and then to declare those to others. Now, what I mean by those are foundational is those were given, and those have been completed now. We don't believe that there are apostles. We don't believe that there are prophets. In the sense of we don't believe that there are people speaking new revelation. We believe the scriptures have been complete, and therefore these gifts have also been completed. But we're thankful for that foundation. Because you see, that foundation is found in the scriptures. That's the apostles and the prophets there. And that's the base that we should be living by. The base we should be believing. And then there's the ongoing. And that's where we get those other gifts, the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers. And those continue today. We have evangelists today. In the OPC, we actually have ministers who are called as evangelists. They are the ones that are uniquely gifted to share the gospel with unbelievers and to see them come to faith in Christ. And we all should be looking for opportunities to share the gospel. But there is, God has gifted certain men to do the work of an evangelist. Paul says that in 1 Timothy 4. That's part of the reason why our presbytery, one of the things that we're considering is what we call a regional home missionary. One that's going to go to other parts of our within our presbytery and Lord willing, start church plants and mission works and gather new believers in that area and to hope, Lord willing, start an OPC church. They're doing the work of evangelists. And then you see shepherds and teachers. And this is where it gets a little interesting because you'll notice this is the evangelists, the shepherds. We kind of expect to see and the teachers, but we see shepherds and teachers. So there are some that would consider that maybe these two should go together. And there are those that maybe that think that they should be separate. Many of it's dependent upon interpretation. But scholars are looking at this with somewhat agreement that this is likely referring to elders amongst congregations. That's why Peter writes, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." The elders are called to shepherd the flock, to make decisions, and how best to lead the flock. Brothers and sisters, that's why it's so important that we choose elders and deacons not as a popularity contest. Not as one church that I was a part of at one time who literally took the directory and started just picking out names because their reasoning was, well, this person hasn't been in church, has preached. You know, their attendance is pretty hit or miss. Well, we make them an officer, then they have to come. That's not why we choose elders. That we don't choose elders that way. We prayerfully consider who will shepherd the flock and lead us. So may I just simply say, and not to embarrass our elders, but to praise God for Mark, for Travis, for Dave. The joys that we have of these men to shepherd us, to thank them, to rejoice in them, to encourage them. Because there are times where they too have the privilege of teaching and preaching. You're experiencing that in our adult Sunday school. If it's not Dave teaching Jeremiah, it's going to be Travis teaching this summer. It's going to be Mark teaching soon too. What a blessing. What a blessing to have shepherds and teachers. That's the nature of those of God's gifts. That's what they look like. That's one small list. But Paul then goes on and he says, well, what's the purpose of God's gifts? here. What is the purpose of God's gifts? And that's our second point. And we see that in verse 12. What do we have? Why do we have the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Why do we have the ongoing evangelists and shepherds and teachers? The reason, the purpose is found in verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. It's to equip the saints. To help them get stronger. To help us get wiser. To help us learn the scriptures. To help us recognize it's God's will, not ours. It's part of our sanctification as we realize God's word is truth. That's also mentioned in Christ's high priestly prayer. To equip the saints. If we have a gym membership and never use it, are we going to get any stronger? I don't think so. And in the same way, we get stronger as we sit under the Word of God. And it, whether it's morning worship, or it's morning worship in Sunday school, or whether it's Sunday school and morning worship and Lord willing evening worship later on, we get stronger as we sit under the Word of God. We don't want to shrivel up in our spiritual growth. We want to get stronger. And that's why we have these, that's why we have evangelists and shepherds and teachers. We have the opportunity to use those, just like we use those that gym equipment, we have the opportunity to have the Lord strengthen us, to make us stronger in faith, to make us stronger in our walk, to grow us up in our maturity. And equips the saints for the work of ministry. Yes, brothers and sisters in Christ, God uses us too. He uses us as well. Every member, every believer, the body of Christ as a whole. Remember what we said, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, verse 7. And so God gives us gifted men. We gave us apostles and prophets who then gave us the scriptures. We have evangelists to bring the gospel of the lost. We have shepherds and teachers and elders and deacons who teach and equip and lead us. But the church truly grows up spiritually when every member is doing what they're called to do. Because we're equipping one another for the work of ministry. We're being built up. We're in a sense spiritual bodybuilders. We might not look like bodybuilders, but we have an opportunity to build one another up. And so when we neglect to be at worship, when we neglect the Word of God, when we neglect prayer, when we neglect the means of grace, we are not building up our bodies. I remember in high school, a number of friends who, were football players. And what do football players love to do? They love going to the weight room, all right? They think they got to get bigger and stronger. Well, guess what? When they graduate from high school and all that muscle's built up, what do you think happens to all that muscle if they don't keep it up? They turns a little bit, if I can use the term, flabby. That's what happens to us when we neglect the Word of God. We become spiritually flabby. God calls us to minister to one another. Each one of us to use that gift in accordance to the measure of Christ's gift. That's the purpose. Why does God give us these gifts? Why does God call us to grow up to so that we can equip the saints for the work of ministry, so that we can be built up to the body of Christ? And then what's the goal? Verse 13, the third point we want to look at this morning is the goal of God's gifts. What is the goal here? Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. May I just say to you this, that the Word of God is not just educational. It's not just something for here. It's transformational too. It changes us. Part of growing up spiritually is that we are changed by the Word of God. We don't just simply go through the motions. We don't simply just say, okay, I punched my card. I can do whatever I want to do now. No, it changes us. We as believers might be able to look back in our lives and go, yeah, I know how I've been changed. And some of us very drastically. And others maybe a little more subtly. But God has changed us. And we can always continue to be transformed. We can all continue to be sanctified. There are those that believe that we can somehow attain perfection. And I can assure you that if you read 1 John, 1 John reminds us there is no such thing as perfection in this world. We won't receive that until Christ returns. But until then, the goal of God's gifts here is to mature us, to unify us. So let's look at the specifics here. First of all, Paul talks about the unity until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Now, sometimes you might think that, wow, the pastor really majors on the minors, but I want you to note here that the word, the unity of the faith, this is not subjective. This is your not subjective experience of faith. No, this is something that's objective. The faith. It's a specific faith. And that what that specific faith is, what we believe about Jesus. That is the specifics. The unity of the faith. There is one faith, as we saw in the beginning of chapter 4. There is one body, one spirit, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all. One faith, the faith. It's one of the things we need to do as we think about our own growing up in our spiritual walk is to pray, Lord, recalibrate me so that my mind and my thoughts and my will and my desires are based upon what I believe about Jesus. The unity of the faith. And then he says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. It's not what we believe about Jesus. There is a sense of knowledge when it comes to faith. There is a knowledge of Jesus that we need to know. And like I said, it's not just the book knowledge. It's not just here. It's not just reciting the Sunday school answers. But it's about discerning and recognizing and understanding who Christ is. You can see Paul here is emphasizing how Christ-centered we need to be. If we're going to grow up spiritually, if we're going to grow using God's gifts, then we need to recognize that the goals that we have is to grow in our knowledge. 5 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the scriptures, we know and understand and we can know how to love our Lord Jesus Christ. We better understand who he is. We can better discern who he is. We can better understand what he has done for us, what we can believe about what he's done for us. And see, that knowledge of Christ leads us right back to what we believe about Christ, right back to that faith, the faith. And then he says at the end, to mature manhood. Brothers and sisters, just as our unity is measured in Christ-centered terms, so is our maturity. The measure of matured manhood for the church is, as he says there, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unity is centered on what we believe and what we know, what we confess, what we understand, what we discern. Maturity is how we live, how we act, what out what we believe and what we know. One commentator said, it's interesting that as we think about that difference between the unity and our maturity, isn't that how Ephesians is divided up? The first three chapters were about what we believe, about what we confess, about what we understand. It's in chapters 4-6 that now we see this is how we live. This is how we respond to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. This is what we believe and how we're called to live. As a church, we should be focused on growing in our faith. As a church, we should seek to understand God's word. We should grow in our knowledge of Christ. And we should mature as in our conduct as believers. Brothers and sisters, we need to grow up spiritually. There's room for more maturity. There's room for sanctification. We are constantly dying more and more to sin and living more and more to righteousness. And so we should be praying, Lord, make us more like Christ. Fill us with Christ. Fill us with that knowledge. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in us, as Paul will say in Colossians 3:16. I want to attain the unity of the faith. I want to know the Son of God. I want to mature to manhood. I want to be Christ-like. That's the goal. And that leads us to one last thing. The outcome. That's the fourth point. The outcome of God's gifts. What do we hope to gain? Let me offer to you a couple of sub-points here. First of all, we're going to grow in stability. Did you notice verse 14? So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Tossed to and fro by the waves. There's a lot of winds of doctrine, isn't there? There's a lot of people telling you what you should believe in. There's a lot of very crafty people trying to deceive you. You'll hear things like, there's no such thing as hell. Hell's just a fictitious place to scare you so you believe. You'll hear things like, oh, well, you know what? There is no afterlife. We're just annihilated. It's over. You'll hear things like you know, you will become your own God and you will have your own planet with your own spiritual children. All kinds of crazy things out there. How do we avoid that? We remain grounded. We have the anchor for our soul, as Hebrews says. We have Christ Jesus. We have that foundation, the apostles and prophets. And so we're not going to grow in maturity and stability unless we know what God's word says and are committed to evaluate everything in the light of scriptures, to know what is true and what is false, what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what is deceitful and what is truthful. We need to grow in stability. Verse 15 tells us we'll also grow in integrity. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. I might have mentioned this to some of you. We tend to want to do one of two things with this verse. We either want to speak in love and just say, well, it's okay. Whatever you believe, it's okay. We don't want to hurt your feelings. Or the opposite, we speak the truth. And we literally take this and we say, oh, it's the sword of the Spirit. So we start beating people up with it. God calls us to speak the truth in love. To speak it, not to speak the truth in love, not just in our speech, not in our words, but in our conduct, in our spirit, in our motive, to not be hypocritical, to not be a pretend Christian, to not be fake, but to be that, speak the truth in love. I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you, because I care for your spiritual well-being, because I want to see you grow up. Just like I need to see myself grow up. So sometimes speaking the truth in love, sometimes the hardest thing to speak the truth in love to is yourself. To develop integrity. So we can grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into church. And then that leads us to another thing that we will see the outcome of all this, is we will see a maturity and unity. Verse 16, we're going to grow spiritually. Look at how it says, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul even gets to the nitty-gritty, doesn't he? Even every joint with which it's equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Because when each part isn't working properly, it's not growing, is it? It's not working the way it should. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of how the body doesn't seem to work as it should when something isn't working right. I have never done it. Some of you have broken a toe. And you know what that causes. Some of you I know deal with migraine headaches. You know how that affects your entire body. If our bodies stop working, if something goes wrong with our body, we usually will go see someone because we think it's a serious medical issue. We could seek help. We can't just go, well, I broke my leg, but I'll be okay. Put a band-aid on it, I'll be all right. No, we go see somebody to assist us. In the same way, for healthy growth spiritually comes when every part is working properly. When we build ourselves up in love. You see, brothers and sisters, a healthy and growing church is one that is growing in love for one another. It's one of the things I love about our church. It's something I tell people. We are a church that generally does love one another. We might have small differences, different approaches, but we truly do love and care for one another. And we can grow in that love. Because that's healthy. You see, as Paul says, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Just like when you give blood, you're not suddenly, if you've given blood for several years, you're not going to run out. You just continue to produce that blood. In the same way, when we pour our love out towards one another, it's not we're going to dry out. All we're going to do is grow in that and be able to offer more. That's how we grow, using God's gifts. And we have seen the nature of those gifts. We have seen the purpose of those gifts, the goal of those gifts, the outcome of all those gifts. And so this morning, I want us to conclude just this morning by simply asking you a question. I want you to think about this, and truly think about this. What kind of church do we want to be? What kind of church do we want to be? Let me tell you some of the churches that are out there. There's those entertainment churches. You're going to get a great show, I promise you. As one thing I saw on social media, I said, it's entertainment churches is like a Coldplay concert with a TED Talk. You can entertain them to get them in the church, but then guess what? You got to entertain them to keep them there too. That's not the kind of church we want to be. Do you want to be a church that tells you exactly what you hear? And so, in other words, we're not going to tell you when you've misstepped. We're just going to tell you that no matter what your bias is, no matter what your misunderstandings are, that we're never going to challenge you to think. We're never going to challenge you to change. We're not going to tell you to be transformed by the Word of God. We're just going to let you be set in your ways. That's not the kind of church we want to be either. We don't want to be a controlling, legalistic church, as there are out there that tell you exactly what we think and demand that you live according to our standards. And that you live, and you look just like everybody else. You dress the same way. You act the same way. You believe in the same things. And there's no room for differences. We could be an academic church. We could just fill your heads with the knowledge. And we could, as I said, knowledge isn't bad. But there are those academic churches where you walk in, and I've been in those churches, and they're a little intimidating. What kind of church do we want to be? We want to be a growing, maturing, united, Christ-centered church. Notice those participles. We're growing. We haven't finished growing. We are still growing. We're still maturing. We're still being united. We are still longing to be Christ-centered. We want to be a place where God's word is open, where God's word is proclaimed, where God's word is taught, where the saints are equipped by the ministry of the word, where we're engaging in the ministry for the body, where we are all functioning properly. We are being built up together in love by Christ. That's the kind of church we want to be. That's the kind of church that we're getting challenged to be in these verses. What kind of church do you want to be? Well, under the ministry of the word, truth and love go hand in hand. And when truth and love go hand in hand, and growth is assured and grace prevails, we want to be a church that emphasizes truth, that emphasizes love, that emphasizes growth, and emphasizes grace. Grace in Christ Jesus. Because as we saw in verse 7, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so may God be gracious to us. May God give us and reveal to us the gifts that He has given us. And may we use those to build up one another in truth and in love. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, may we be what you want us to be. Lord, reveal to us where we can serve, how we can minister, what we can do. Lord, grow us in faith, grow us in knowledge, grow us in grace. Lord, transform us so that we can be and do what you want us to be and to do. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name, and let us say, Amen. Amen.